Amen. Yes. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Welcome. Good morning. We welcome you here in person. We welcome you virtually on our webpage on YouTube as we are about worshiping on this April 14th. Tomorrow is a very important day for a lot of people. April 15th. Does that mean anything to anybody here? Ides of April. You know, there's a mixed bag as far as I go. I pay taxes, and since I've retired, I'm paying a lot more tax, by the way. I don't know what that's about, but at any rate, we got to fix roads and bridges and stuff, so that's part of being in a community. So we will do that. Speaking of spring, though, as I jump topics, Paya and Nalu, they were just telling me in their backyard, they've got fruit trees. Wonderful stuff, you know, and these beautiful fruit trees. But every year the ravens come and they nest in these trees and they eat the fruit. So Nalu said, no more, that's it. And so he went out and he built a frame and he strung netting all around the trees so keep the birds out. Paya said, oh, honey, it's impeccable. Long way to get to that. I apologize for that long run. By way of procrastinators and IRS and all of that, this is the last week to contribute to Vacation Bible School. Stephanie is getting prepared to start that campaign of putting everything together and building and constructing, and that it begins with having to buy it. So if you have not and intend to assist with VBS, do that right now. Do that right away. Stuff on the back of there. If you have any question on how to help with that, call the church office. We can help you. Sandy Tinney, I didn't warn you ahead of time, but can I impose upon you to tell us a little about how our Women of Faith is helping Aurora Warms the Night and those other services? How are we doing on that?
Well, I really need to thank all the people of Burns who've given me the little bottles. I'm going to show you. This is the smallest size we can use, but it's perfect because it snaps shut. We've had some that you just pop the lid. They don't work because when we put them in the bag, they spill open.
Okay.
And also, we're going to do this service through the months of June, July, and August, even though the Women's Society does not meet.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Michael's behind you. Yeah, just hold your hand up. Up. Yep. There he is. Very good. Deb Gunther is trying to get our attention. Mike. Thank you.
Good morning. And this we got from Savor for the crop fundraiser in March. We received $160, so thank you very much. And this next week is April's fundraiser at Great Greek on Potomac and Colfax. And that's all day, and you don't need the flyer for that one.
Tell me the date again.
This Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday, which will be
the 16th.
Okay.
Okay.
Greek, 16th.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie Gunther. Diana.
I don't know if everybody knows this, but Jim Cantor is going to have her memorial service this month on the 27th. It will be held at the Arvada Methodist Church. And Sandy and I got together and thought, if any of you would like to go, we would be glad to form a carpool. So please let Sandy or I know if you'd like to be in it to go. I believe the funeral's at 10 o'clock in the morning.
And the date?
27th. So if you'd like to go, please let one of us know and we'll meet you here at the church.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Paya Calamini, Mike.
Uh, On Friday, I was asked by our HR at Greco to be involved with community outreach. So for the Women's Society and to Deb Gunther and whoever else, please let me know what it is that I could let Greco know to be involved in. I've mentioned Great Greek's fundraiser for Aurora Crop Hunger Walk, and then I will let them know about Sandy Tinney's.
Aurora Warms the Night, yeah.
Aurora Warms the Night.
Okay.
But if there's anything else, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Others, lots of different things going on, mission opportunities, and that is our lifeblood, and that is how we are about. I don't see any other announcements, by the way, of gathering and preparing us, so let's transition to worship. Let us be in worship, let us gather, let us stand and wave hello to one another and turn to our call to worship. Stand if you will.
All right, please remain standing as we join together in this morning's call to worship. Join me in gathering for worship. Jesus brought us the good news. Christ is our joy and our salvation. In steadfast love and faithfulness, God has done marvelous things. God raised us from the dead. God raised us from lives of death into lives of discipleship. It is from Christ that we spring forth to do ministry. Christ is the vine, we are the branches. Apart from Christ, we are lifeless. Lord, thank you for the gift you give us each day, each moment. Please remain standing as we join in singing Hymn of Promise, number 707 in your hymnal. This morning's first scripture reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 12 through 19, and that appears on page 113 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. Peter addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Nalu. By way of prayer concerns, we have a handful here. From Renee, she said that her friend Doris's mom has pneumonia and asks prayers for her. And Renee's sister Sheila, having surgery for a hysterectomy, prayers for her. So we want to lift those. Prayers for Don Boyles. He is doing well, but health concerns, didn't make it this morning. And so he has had a tough time, and that continues. Let's keep energizing him through our prayers. Also, if you did not get the email, Barbara Stevens in the hospital in Littleton, in ICU, she had some kind of heart. Michael, tell me the details again, Barb Stevens.
Call from Ron. He said she had a blocked carotid artery. It's in there. It wasn't the heart. Her heart's doing pretty good, and she hadn't had any strokes or anything. It's just a blocked carotid artery, and she's being analyzed, see what they're going to do. It's in there.
Okay, so blocked carotid artery. That's right.
Yeah, in the neck.
Thank you.
So she's, Ron said that one side of her brain's not getting enough blood. Put her
okay.
In another way.
So she was confused and having a hard time.
Yeah.
Son Ron brought you that news, and you shared it with me. We continue to lift the people on the back of the bulletin. Relic, good to see you back with us. I know your husband said he had some stomach issues, and we hope those are being resolved. Other updates on others on the back of the bulletin as you see them. Diana Hunt, please.
I had a talk with Carol Othenreith yesterday, and an update is she's had some more surgery, so she could use some prayer. She's doing pretty good now. It was pretty serious, but she's hoping that she's thinking of you guys and just hoping for some prayers.
Okay. Carol Othenreith, surgery concerns. Carol Danielson, please.
Prayers for my brother Richard, 88-year-old in Wichita, who was on the ladder, three steps up, and fell on his left side. Didn't break anything, but he's really sore. And also for my dear neighbor, she's 91. She fell in her garage and broke her hip, so had surgery and is rehab now. Jean Ice.
Jean?
Jean Ice, I-C-E.
Well, just go with Jean. Okay, 91, broken hip. other personal concerns, other worries in our family. Our family is greater than here. The escalation in the Middle East, there is escalation in the Middle East. The battle there is not over in there. And now Iran is becoming actively involved. It is a worry. Tragically, over my entire lifetime, there has been conflict in the Middle East, and it's easy for me to kind of just say, well, what else is new? But we cannot accept what's happening. We need to be prayerful that solutions, that peaceful solutions might be found. So we lift those. We also lift, I have to continue to lift, young people with guns and arguments that turn into shootings. They are becoming routine, and that should not be okay. That should not be the case. How to intervene is a question, but talking to our young people one-to-one is the beginning of that. So prayers for young people. And I know when I was that age, I did not have a fully developed brain, although I was convinced that I was wise beyond years. And so prayers for all of those, for wisdom, for emergency responders trying to help keep calm and save lives. So we lift those. Other concerns, other things going on. Beautiful summer outside. We just checked, the air conditioning kicked on, so let us know if the temperature is too warm or too cold or just right or what have you. And we will smile and ignore you anyway, but at least we know that the air conditioning units are working, and so the rest of this week is going to cool off, so there's that. If you have been distracted and have not seen the glory of nature outside, look around. Trees are brimming. Fruit trees and blossoms are everywhere. My nose has recognized this. My eyes are aware of pollen in the air, and the squirrels and the rabbits are acting funny. So life and life abundantly around us. Celebrate God in that. Other prayers, other concerns. If not, join me. Let's read together. The unison prayer is on the screen or in your bulletin. Our souls wait for you, O God. Help us, Lord, to open our ears and be more attentive to your word. We hope for a clear understanding of your will for us. Lord, there is more. We need courage and faith, Lord. There are times where we understand, but courage fails us. Melt away our fear, our hesitance, our procrastination. Bless our gathering as a church and give us the energy and vitality that comes with faithful discipleship. Draw us together in unity with a sense of direction and purpose for our church and our individual lives. Renew our vitality, buttress our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to a moment of silence and meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving, gracious God, thank you for joining us this morning, for your attentiveness to our prayers shared here, and your attentiveness to our prayer shared with you silently, personally, one-to-one. You are always with us, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, in celebrations of each moment, in the darkness of the dark night, the dark nights of the soul. We are grateful, Lord. Thank you. Help us remember to give you honor and glory and to acknowledge you as the author of life, the author of all that is good, the giver of all that is about peace and unity and about your love for us and your gifts to us through Christ. As we gather, Lord, help us not allow ourselves to become complacent. Unsettle us in our complacency, even as you comfort us in our distresses. We lift those who are hurting in places of war and battle, especially the children, innocent ones caught in the midst of politics they cannot comprehend, and victims. Lord, help us help them. Through your grace, you have given us guidance and inspiration, each of us with gifts and ability to do your way and your will. Guide us to use those to your glory and to be about offering you to the world around us. Lord, we open our minds to be aware of all of our brothers and sisters around the world, different languages, cultures, different colors, different shapes, different ages. All are members of our family, brothers and sisters gathered. Thank you, Lord, for that great family, and thank you for being the guide, the center, the core of that family, to guide us as one. Hear us as we join in the voices of all of those brothers and sisters in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pause for a moment and hear our offertory as Barbara offers it up.
Thank you, Miss Barbara. Before I ask you to stand for our gospel reading this morning, I'm going to give you just a little lead into it. This is where the two travelers are traveling down the road and they encounter Jesus after the crucifixion, and they don't realize who they're actually walking with, who they're conversating with. And then before they know what happens, this person that they encounter along the road vanishes, disappears. It is then that they become aware of the fact that they were walking, that they were talking with our Savior, Jesus Christ. They rush and return to tell the disciples what has just happened to them. And then out of nowhere, Jesus appears there as well, among the travelers and the disciples. And this is where our scripture reading this morning picks up. So I ask that you please rise as we read this morning's gospel reading, taken from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 36b to verse 48. Listen for the word of the Lord. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, Jesus said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The word of the Lord. Please remain standing as we continue with our second hymn. And I also invite the Vacation Bible School children, please, to come down to the front. God has given me.
Thank you all. You can sit down. Get comfortable. Thank you, kiddos. Good energy there. Where was that film? Larry, did you recognize that area? That might have been. You realize group is it from Loveland, and they do a lot of stuff from right around that area in Denver and what have you, but they might have taken a trip down to Lake Powell, Lake Mead, somewhere, and all that. Well, let's turn to our morning message. You know what? I never read the birthday list for this coming up, did I? I did not do celebrations or birthdays or nothing. You know, as you get a little older, things come in different orders. Celebrations. Do you have celebrations to lift and share together today? Stephanie, Ruby, whichever way, Michael, wherever you get first.
I just want y'all to celebrate with me. I went to the doctor last week and got really good numbers. Thank you, God. And pray
Amen.
That they continue to go on so I can continue to be your baker.
Good, good, good. Continued help for the Ruby. Stephanie.
Yeah, so we had a new addition to our family this week. Our cousin Josh and his wife Yvonne, they had a little girl, Amelia Ann, on Monday. And then Hadley, yesterday, she had her final gymnastics competition. She had made it to state, and she got 7th all around in floor. So.
All right. Wonderful, wonderful. Hadley, we're going to set up a set of bars for you one of these days and just turn you loose out here. Do you work? No, you do floor, so you don't even need bars, see? So there we go. Such a celebration. Dawn.
My daughter's oldest birthday. The oldest daughter.
Thank you.
I did not get that.
My birthday's today.
Your birthday today. Dawn Larson. I have that down here. Happy birthday, young lady.
Thank you.
Finally turned an 18. Actually, Bradley and James Latow, Jim's grandchildren. They're going to be 8, the twins, today. Cannot believe that. Shelly Wynn has her birthday on Sunday. These are all on Sunday, so all of them today. Big party. Everybody come. Perry Moore has a birthday on Tuesday. Aretha Johnson on Saturday. I don't have any anniversaries on record. Anybody? Any other birthdays, special events? We celebrate all of those. God is aware of those, and we are grateful. Amen? Amen. All right, sermon time. Now, we're going to try this, and I have a bunch of slides to go with my sermon. I don't know why. I just got a wild hair, and it happened. And so what I have is I have a clicker, and I click the clicker, and the slides change. And that doesn't work. So Paya, here we go, Paya, psychic link. You ready? She's going to read my mind, and we're going to try and figure out the slides as we go along, as we talk about our morning here, third Sunday of Easter. Easter. Is still in Easter? Easter's over, isn't it? Bishop Marianne Swenson, you might have remember her, some of you. How many of you remember Bishop Swenson? She was about this tall up to me, physically, and she was about this tall up to me spiritually. What an amazing lady, what an incredible force, and what a gift to our conference. But she said we are an Easter people, that Easter is not just an event, but it is who and what we are and how we are, and that we are an Easter people, and that it's never over, that we live that and embody that and share that, and we share that through the cross. The cross that Christ redeemed us. Christ redeemed humanity for all time. That doesn't just end on one day. That is a change in humanity, a change in who we are. Intriguingly, as we move into Easter now, we begin to see the summer. And the summer distracts us all, me included. Melissa and I will be taking some vacation, and it seems as if it says summer's not as important. That isn't the case necessarily. It's just that there are opportunities to be able to take some vacation and do some of those things and celebrate God's great creation. Amen? So if some of our attendance falls off a little bit, we can understand that. But I don't want us to become inured to Easter. You know that word, inured? It's an odd word, but it means... Well, let me give you an example. Do you know what... Repelling. Do you know what repelling is? This is one form of repelling. Do you know what forgetfulness is? Did you just see that happen? Repelling. So this is repelling, but that's not the one I'm talking about. This is the kind I'm talking about. Repelling. How many of you have ever repelled? Okay, when I was in college, a buddy of mine, good friend that I trusted with my life, and he had been to a place that they trained them on how to repel. And so he came back and he actually bought a piece of rope, a climbing rope and some of the gear. And so we went out to go rappelling. And I was a little bit nervous about this because, I mean, I trusted my buddy, but he was not what I would call a professional at this sort of thing. But anyway, we tied the rope to a tree and he said, "Here, I'll show you." And he got all rigged up and he walked off this cliff and he rappelled down to the bottom. Repel, not repel. Okay. So that was all good and fine, and then he comes back up to the top, and there's a bit of a walk, but he got up there, and he says, "Now it's your turn." So I got all rigged up, and I started walking back to the edge of the cliff. I think my blood pressure was up a little. I believe my apprehension was going a little bit. I believe my heart rate was up, and I believe that adrenaline was flowing through my body because I'm about to walk backwards off of a cliff. And I thought, "What are you doing?" But I was committed to it. I backed up and I rappelled down the face. And I got to the bottom and I thought, "That was so awesome." Four or five times we did this. And I mean, it was a bit of a walk to get back up to the top of the cliff. Rappelling. And it just was so energizing, so exciting. If you haven't done it, maybe this is a little too late. But it is just totally exciting and so much fun. And in college, I worked on the stage. And on the stage, you've seen a stage, they have scenery, okay? Walls and things and all that. Every once in a while, something would happen up above them, above the lights and in all the midst of that, and the ladders wouldn't reach it. So you had to climb up into the gridiron, it's called, and you had to rappel down and make repairs. First time I did that, yes, my heart rate was up, and yes, it was tense, and yes, I sweated my way through it. But by the time I graduated, it was to the point that I realized that I did that without even thinking about it. I was inured to the experience. Do you understand inured now? It's old hat. It's commonplace. It's not even something that's exciting to us. One of my worries in each worship system, each worship service, is the Lord's Prayer. We say that every Sunday. Slide there, Ms. Paya. There we go. And the Lord's Prayer, we say it by rote. I found myself today, actually, thinking about the pastoral prayer in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. And I almost got lost. Because I was saying the Lord's Prayer by rote. I was inured to it, and I wasn't thinking about the prayer. So there's a worry that we say it so often that we ignore it. That's not okay. But on the other hand, it is internalized to the point that we can turn to that anytime, any place. Something happens, something impacts your life, and you need to turn to God. The Lord's Prayer is right there. And we turn to that. So that has value, and so we do that. All of that is kind of an aside. So we turn back to Easter and back to the cross. And so we're talking about manifestations of Christ. We're talking about epiphanies, you see. An epiphany is that appearance, sudden appearance and awareness of God and Christ and what have you. Easter is an epiphany. Christ appearing after the cross. This is what the disciples experience when they're there in the upper room. The walk to Emmaus, as Nalu did such a great job of filling you in. There's those two, Cleopas and his companion, walking on the road to Emmaus. And Christ, there's an epiphany because he walks with them. They don't recognize him at first. And then they realize he has appeared to us. They rush back to tell the disciples. And we heard the story, Jesus appearing with them as right in their midst. An epiphany there. Epiphany is that appearance, awareness, acknowledgement of Christ. The Magi. You heard of the Magi? Remember them? Three wise men. What were their names? Oh, we're good, aren't we? Melchior, Balthazar, and Melchior. What? I don't remember now. I should have written it down. Didn't mean to go down this. We wandered down a side path, didn't we? When you get older, these things happen sometimes. You just hang on. But here the Magi come, and we acknowledge this is God's child. The baptism is the same sort of thing. We remember the baptism of the Christ, and you remember the words, the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is an epiphany. The marriage at Cana is an epiphany. It's the first of Jesus' public miracles. He goes to the wedding, and his mom's there. They're just going to go and have a good time at the wedding. His mom says, "Son, they're out of wine. Oh, woman, what have you to do with me? What has that to do with me? It is not yet my time." But the water for washing their feet is transformed into the finest wine. Only the servants know. But it is the manifestation of God with this man, Jesus. It is an epiphany. And again, as we've noted, the walk to Emmaus. Those men walking along the road, on that road to Emmaus. Just a conversation. Jesus was dead. Jesus was gone. What were they going to do now? And Jesus with them. That happens in our lives. And Cleopas returning. Cleopas. And he's telling them, look at that. You guys, you won't believe what happened. This amazing event has happened. Jesus himself walked with us. And then Jesus appears to them all because the disciples didn't want to take Cleopas's word for it. And there is the commissioning. There is the commissioning, and Jesus is there, and he's gathered with all of them, and all of the 11 apostles. Remember, Judas is dead. After Jesus' death, Judas commits suicide, so there's only 11. They'll later elect an apostle to fill in for him to become 12 again. But they're gathered there. The apostles are gathered with their companions. And that's what it says in the text, and we kind of need to think about that a minute. I got a slide here. I was hunting around for the slide, and I looked at the slide, and I thought, well, I love this artistry, and I love this. And then I realized that it's all women. It's all women. And there's an emphasis here on saying we need to remember that women were some of those companions present in those gatherings. In their day and age, women didn't count. But women were present. There were probably also kids there and maybe pets. Sounds like a family gathering, doesn't it? Sounds like the kind of gatherings we have in our homes. And while they're talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And that word, peace, in Greek, is Irene. Can you read it up there? It's spelled E-I. R-E-N-E. Now, I was going to try and pronounce that with all kinds of inflection and Greek stuff, but it's pronounced Irene. Did you know that? Do you know somebody named Irene? Walk up to them and said, "Peace." See if they know that their name means peace. That's the word. That's the very one. It named after a goddess of prosperity and peace. And wouldn't it be complicated if we had a member of our congregation named Irene and say, Irene be with you. It sounds like an Abbott and Costello routine, doesn't it? We could get real complicated and have fun with that. But peace, and what does peace mean? Peace be with you? It's about an individual peace between people. And it's about harmony. We talked about that last Sunday in the sermon, how wonderful it is when people gather together in unity and gather together in peace and felicity. By the way, felicity means happiness with harmony. Do you know anybody named Felicity? I don't either, except on TV. So peace be with you. Peace be with you, Jesus says. Peace be with you. Does that mean relax? Kick back. Take your shoes off. Sit in the easy chair and just let life relax. Sometimes we need to do that. We get all caught up with everything else and we forget and we don't pay attention and we stop listening. And we stop using our gifts and graces and our gifts and gifts. But it was as they're gathered that they are terrified. They were startled when Jesus appeared among them. You can understand that. He's died. They saw him die on the cross. They're aware of that. He's been buried. And now he stands among them. You can imagine they might say, do you think you just saw a ghost? And there might be that sense. There's some terrifying apparition here. Did they see a ghost? Was it just a ghost? There was a whole cult that grew up saying that Jesus never really appeared again, but it was only his image, his manifestation. He wasn't real. When he walked across the sand, he left no footprints because he was just an ethereal sort. Not true. Not true. The cover of your bulletin, and the cover, we have a slide of that, don't we, Paya? The cover of the bulletin, and he's there, and he asked them, he says, do you have anything to eat? Makes you wonder, do they not have food in heaven? That would be a bad thing. I love food. I don't want to tell anybody that, but I do have anything to eat. Why would he be asking them for food gathered here? I mean, heaven is going to have everything we need and then some. Amen? But he asked them, do you have anything? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Can you see the fish on the table? Can you see the fish in the plate there in your bulletin if it's too hard to see in the screen? There's a little fish there. It's not a very big one. But you know what? Ghosts don't need to eat. Only humans need to have food. And Jesus is making sure they understand that. Christ alive again, physically manifest and gathered. And so then he has them, and he's gathered with them, and they understand who they're with, and they believe. And then he does the commissioning. Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem's. You are witnesses to these things. Repentance and forgiveness. You are witnesses to these things. We are to go out and witness these things. Share them to each other. Now, I'm not a door-to-door knock on the door and say, can I talk to you about Jesus? I get 4 or 5 of those calls a year. It's okay. But it doesn't convert me. It doesn't change me. Perhaps some are influenced by that, but the majority of people I know are dissuaded by that. It's not a pleasant thing. They're not comfortable with, they're not happy with that. And they, in fact, back away from religion as those people that knock at the door and try and push their religion on you. So how are we to go out into the world and share Christ? How are we to be commissioned to be witnesses to the world. Well, Jesus taught it in how he did it, person to person. He called Peter and Andrew, one to one. He called James and John and Thomas, sometimes called Didymus, and Simon and the other Simon. He called them all one by one, and each one of them, person to person, he engaged them and shared the good news. If we repent and return, we are forgiven. We're in a world that needs that. We're in a world that needs to understand that we can forgive things and move past them. I don't know how that applies to the Middle East right now, and my mind keeps going back to that. Could there be forgiveness for all of the past atrocities that each side has performed on the other and began a new existence moving forward? This would be the good news. Do you know those others who struggle with their pasts, who struggle with what they might have done or failed to do? And have you had those events in your own lives? We all have. But as we repent, we have forgiveness. Oh, God is so good. God is so wonderful. God is loving us, caring for us, and forgiving us. And we must forgive ourselves that we might be able to share out of that goodness to those others in need. We are witnesses to these things. Amen? Amen. Barbara, can I put you to work? This is a hymn that's, you probably don't know this one, do you, Barbara? Lily of the Valley, it's a real new one. Stand if you will. It's in the Faith We Sing, number 2062.
Man, he might
hungry, so
Thank you, Mark. I did not get to acknowledge him as he was gathering and leading, but thank you for your gifts and your drill sets. Michael also accompanies, if you've ever seen the videos, you hear him doing a little bit of accompaniment to help hear voices, because we are out there offering, singing, celebrating, and God is good. All the time. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may we remember how blessed we are, and may we go out and offer the Christ to all the world. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands, if you will. Let's sing our closing. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.